Take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
I'm a human being, God damn it! My life has value!
It's time to ask yourself what you believe.
Mass murder, torture, perjury, embezzlement, fraud, deception, treason. These are just a few of your many crimes against humanity. You will not win this war, for you are fighting the very essence of humanity.
Dean Henry.
Please visit our website at truthortees.com and our store at shop.truthortees.com. For this intro segment, we're bringing back a vaccine truth activist, someone that we really admire, Dawn Winkler. She's great. She's been on our show before, and she's been very vocal and visibly speaking out against these vaccine bills in California that have been going on for the last couple years. And we're bringing her back because we want to get an update on how things are going, and a lot's changed since the last time we had her on. And she is the California State Co-Director of the NVIC, or the National Vaccine Information Center, and Executive Director of HAPI, or the Health Advocacy in the Public Interest. For more information, you can check out nvicadvocacy.org. Please welcome to our show, Dawn Winkler. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, April. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Dawn. Hi, Dawn. How are you?
Having me?
Yeah. You know,
good to
the last.
Back.
Good. We're glad to have you. So you know, the last time we had you on our show, we were trying to have Bill AB 2109 vetoed. So
right.
You know, would you please remind the audience what that bill was and what it meant to Californians?
AB 2109 was a bill that unfortunately did pass and was signed by Governor Brown, and it requires parents to obtain the signature of a medical practitioner, which is pretty narrowly defined, on their personal beliefs exemption from vaccination. So, in other words, it makes it almost like a medical exemption. It's under the guise of getting the parent educated, but good luck finding a practitioner to sign off on your form. The governor did include a signing message that directed the Department of Health to implement a new religious exemption. However, it is June 3rd now, and we still have yet to see any new form, which we were promised by the end of March we would have the draft of our new exemption form so we could see what it's going to look like, and it's still not complete. So whether or not we wind up in California with a religious exemption that no one signs other than the parent remains to be seen. But no matter what, the personal belief exemption will require someone else to sign aside from the parents. So in my view, basically took our personal belief exemption away, although technically it's still on the books. Good luck.
Yeah. So did, and he said that he would put a religious exemption in it, but he doesn't really have to. I mean, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to happen, does it?
No, the governor's signing message is not state statute. All it is a signing message. And so what we've all predicted, and we're just kind of, well, we're not waiting. We constantly bother the Department of Health, and they constantly pass the buck and do not do their job and do not create the new form. And basically, we know that when it comes down to the legal review, it's going to matter who, you know, who reviews it legally. We don't know if they're going to rely on the Attorney General or someone else, but how will they construe California state statute? California state statute does not say anything about a religious exemption, and that is probably because when the exemption was written into law, it was written broadly so that personal beliefs would be an umbrella and cover religious exemptions. And thankfully, all of our pressure, although, I mean, we just don't know how it's going to come out, all of our fighting and all of our pressure did get the governor to, I guess, see that it would be a constitutional nightmare to require parents to go get a signature if their exemption was religious in nature. So he did what he did on his signing message. But again, we're all holding our breath, wondering who makes the final judgment on, you know, the legality of this, and will there or won't there be a religious exemption that is separate, that doesn't require anyone's signature but the parent, which is the way it should be.
Yeah, and depending on what the form says, because we are up in the air about what it says, I mean, would you recommend that people get a lawyer to just draft them an exemption, if that would be another method? Or I've heard of other states where people have done that in the past, where, because some of the exemption forms say language like, I understand I'm putting my child at undue risk, or I'm putting my child in mortal danger. And I would sign a document like that. I would be like, no.
Yeah, there's a lot of documents in different states that are very, I would call them, you know, self-incriminating. And I don't like signing those either, and I refuse to. So I can't make recommendations to other people about what, you know, what to do. And we don't have the new form, so I have absolutely no idea what it's going to say or what it's going to look like. But what I hope is that if there is not a religious exemption made available that is only has to be signed by a parent, I would certainly hope we would see a constitutional challenge. But, you know, that will take the right person, the right situation, it will take money, all those things. I, you know, I wish I had a crystal ball and I could, you know, figure out what was going to happen. What I do know, the only thing I know for sure is that come January 1st, 2014, we're going to have chaos when it comes to these exemptions, because students will all of a sudden be out of compliance, and schools are already under the impression that people need to go get a doctor's signature now. I get calls and emails from parents over the past few months. You know, people have been told they can't bring their child back to school by whatever date if they don't go get a doctor's signature on their form. There is no new form to sign. So we already are seeing the chaos that's just going to be magnified, incomprehensible, is all I can say.
What does this say about the homeschoolers, too? Because I understand that in this state, homeschooling is considered, you're still liable to have these mandates even if you're homeschooling, because you're considered to be like your own public institution something like that?
You have to establish a private school, basically,
which just
means some paperwork. But there, but then after you do that, there you are. You're in the system, so to speak.
Right.
Which means, they, you know, absolutely, you are required to have the same paperwork that anyone else would be. It's just a matter of whether or not they come look, and we all predict that they will certainly come look if that's what they choose to do. I mean, we already saw them go door to door in Natomas and
right.
knock on the door and try to vaccinate kids that were not even going to school necessarily, but were, you know, enrolled in some sort of home program.
Right. Yeah, and that was Dr. Pan's district who wrote the bill, AB 2.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. God, that's so creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, creepy is an understatement. I don't really, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very invasive. I mean, even at my son's school, they had at one point set up a flu shot clinic, and it was voluntary. They weren't, like, taking anybody there and making them go over there, but they called and left a message on my voicemail, you know, if your child wants to come in, we're going to be having these vaccines. I was like, this is just, I mean, why are you guys even involved in this? This is a privacy thing, your own medical
exactly.
business, your own business. It's just very, very invasive.
It is, and I'm one that believes, you know, there's no place at school for anything medically related. The two shouldn't be intertwined.
Right.
And, you know, that has actually gone on in my small little town where I live. We've had them go ahead and give flu shots in our public school to kids, and I just find that absolutely horrifying, especially with my own history. I was
right.
given a smallpox vaccine at school when I was about 7 or 8 years old, and we were put on a bus, schooled to a taken to a gymnasium, got in line, and we all got smallpox vaccines. And my mother was completely unaware, to my knowledge. And in fact, I had already had one dose, and you're not supposed to have two. And I had pretty much a life-threatening reaction, and I was deathly ill for a week.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
It went on in schools back then, and we're seeing it, you know, it's going on more and more in public schools every day that time goes by. There's more and more school-based clinics and school-based vaccine clinics.
You know. Last time you were here, we also talked about the Gardasil bill, which is AB 499. So,
right.
would you also would you just do a little a summary of like what it is, and if there been any efforts to reverse it that you know of?
Yeah, actually, there have, but unfortunately, those efforts failed. AB 499, which passed in, I believe, 2011. Actually allows minors as young as 12 to go ahead and get STD vaccines, which would include Gardasil and hepatitis B and any in the future that are created, without parents' knowledge or consent. So in other words, your child could, you know, be offered these vaccines at school or anywhere, and you don't need to know about it. They can go ahead and get the vaccine. So this passed session, we actually had AB 599, which Assemblymember Tim Donnelly, he actually sponsored that bill, and that would have undone that. All it was a simple little alteration to the existing language that said no minor shall receive a vaccine without parental knowledge or consent. And you would think that most people could get on board with that, and very simple bill, but we saw exactly the same thing happen with that bill that we did with AB 2109, and that is that across the board, all of the Democrats voted the wrong way, and all of the Republicans voted the right way. So because the Democrats are in control, AB 599 failed. The Democrats refuse to protect and stand up for parental rights.
Why do you suppose they're so clueless about this? Are they shills? I mean, like, for real, are they shills, or do they just, are they naive? They think that they're somehow empowering, like, young girls to go out and be free to have sex? Like, what is their deal?
I in my own personal experience, just all of my, you know, trips to the Capitol and talking to legislators and their aides and all the offices, I think, unfortunately, you know, 99% of the Democrat legislators in office are incredibly uneducated about the vaccine issue, and they just automatically believe and assume that, you know, vaccines are completely safe, they're warm and fuzzy, and we're all going to be dead if we don't have them.
Right. So you're putting us all in danger.
Exactly. And that really, that is what keeps them there. And, you know, I have yet to come up with or find any kind of, logical argument that will get them to, you know, walk away from that and at least say, well, there is some risk, so we should let the parent decide. It's called parental rights. But I'm telling you right now that most Democrats, and I'm not saying that to be, you know, for or against either party, frankly. I despise both parties, okay? I'm just saying that.
Yeah, we're with you, too. We definitely are not, going for that.
But all I can say is that, you know, I usually can have a decent, you know, conversation with Republicans and get them to see that they need to stand up for parental rights and not to be just blinded by this, absolute infallibility, the myth of infallibility with vaccines. You know, they're not in a special category. They're not unicorns and cotton candy and rainbows. They have problems just like any other medical procedure, medication, but they somehow get put into this category that is just beyond any kind of criticism or analytical thinking, and it blows me away.
And then there's some people that don't really even care, because you have people like Dr. Oz who, like, says that vaccines are good, but yet he doesn't vaccinate his own kids, you know?
Right, that's what I've seen, and it's just amazing to me. And of course, you know, obviously there's money involved, and so I can't speak to how many of the Democrats, you know, the money is the reason that they can't see their way to voting the right way or protecting parental rights, but I'm sure that plays a role. But again, I just, in trying to have just rational conversations and showing information that actually, you know, shows vaccines are not safe, not effective, not necessary, a wall goes up and they just can't hear it. They just don't want to hear it, and they revert back to this mentality that, well, you know, the government and the state, they just know best for your kids. What could you possibly know?
Yeah,
if the doctor says it's what you need, it's what you need.
Right. It's kind of laziness, too, I think. You know, because a lot of people don't want to take responsibility. Like, I've had arguments with people. I've lost friends over this vaccine issue because they think I'm in the basement cooking up, you know, in a cauldron. Like, you know, they think I'm a witch now, basically. But, you know, there are people that don't even want to look into it. Like, it's not even worth their time. I'm like, just read a couple articles, read the adjuvants in the vaccines, and they're not even, like, having it, you know?
Right. It's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate when you can just show someone a product insert and they can't even seem concerned about the ingredients. When, you know, if you were to give those to your child on your own outside of the vaccine, you'd be put in jail.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I saw this interview in Aiden Quinn. He was talking about the adjuvants in the vaccines, and they're not legally allowed to be sprayed like on furniture. Yet, you know, it's okay to inject them in your body. And I was like, wow, that's a really good way of putting that. Like, formaldehyde, like, you can't, like, you know, like, make a, put it in soda or anything or drink. You can't, I mean, it's, I don't know.
Then you get the people that, you know, their answer is, oh, well, everything causes cancer. Or, you know, and again, just like you said, laziness. I see a lot of that. And unfortunately, sometimes, unless people are directly impacted, they just can't be bothered or find the time to look into the issue. And I guess, unfortunately, that's what it will take, will be for more legislators to have personal experience with vaccine injury, which is happening, and that's too bad, and that's unfortunate. But until people kind of have their own issue and problem that's firsthand, they don't, you know, they don't want to look at the, they just don't want to look at it. I don't know how people can sit there and ignore the current numbers, you know, with autism, but
right,
you know, they think is it's one in 50 not enough? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just said because they think it just pops out of nowhere. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Right. No, that's okay. And, you know, I just got back from, I went to the Autism One conference in Chicago, and I have to say that was, it was an unbelievable experience. It was very encouraging. There's a lot going on, and it's all pretty much, you know, pointing at vaccines. So
yeah,
there is a huge community of people that do talk about it and do know what's going on, but we won't see those people on mainstream news, right?
That's, yeah, unlikely. I mean, if occasionally you do, like, you know, your friend Rob Schneider, he was great coming out and talking about it in the mainstream.
Yes,
but
that's
really rare. And it's even, you know, with Aidan Quinn, who has a daughter affected, she's autistic, and you know, for us, Don, you and I, we both have children who had vaccine damage, and it's painful, and it's an experience that, you know, we want to share so that people won't have to go through that, because I certainly know that, you know, I don't wish that upon anybody, and, you know, and I know you don't either, and it's like, you know, we're not staked in it. We're not making any money, you know.
I mean, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me think of a while back, I forget who posted it, but it just, you may have seen it. It really struck me to the core. Somebody was just writing about why we do what we do. And we do it because we want more than anything for everyone else to not know our pain. It's avoidable, but as you know, and as you just mentioned, you know, sometimes you end up losing friends over the issue. But, you know, I can't just sit and watch. I have to at least give the info, and then it goes where it goes. And, it, you know, if the person cannot deal with the truth and they continue on their path of poisoning their child, I can't sit there and watch it. So.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of the Autism One conference, I wanted to ask you about that because I heard that you got up and asked a question during the congressional panel. So what did you ask, and what was their response to what you asked?
I did a couple of things. There was a congressional panel, and then there was also a luncheon with Bill Posey, and I stood up at both of those, and at the congressional panel, I stood up and talked about our mercury and aluminum testing results, because they're very shocking, and no one seems to care about them. But
right.
We did them back in 2004, and I kind of made them aware of that and talked about that, and then I asked just pretty simple and flat out, do you support my right, no matter what you do with the vaccines? I don't care what you take out of them or if you think you're making them safer. Do you support my right to say no? This is a medical procedure. It carries risk. I should have the right to say no. And I will say that everyone supports that, supposedly, anyway. Bill Posey, Daryl Issa, Dan Burton, Dave Weldon, they all said yes. I was a little dismayed and disappointed at the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Keynote speech that was on, I believe, well, it was Friday night, I think. He was great. His speech was great. It was amazing. It was awesome. But at the end, one of the questions he got asked was, well, do you support parental rights? And he basically said that he wasn't going to answer that question right now because I don't know why. So, here we go. It just was really upsetting to me. But it was good to hear the other legislators say that they do support our right to say no, because ultimately this isn't about make, for me anyway, it's not about making vaccines safer. I don't believe they can be made safe. I'm sorry. That's my personal belief. I do not believe you can make a vaccine safe. I don't care what you take out of it. You're still going to have Th1, Th2 imbalance because of the process of vaccination. And so you're going to have autoimmune disorders. There's no way around that.
Yes.
And so, you know, all this mamby-pamby talk about making them safer and on and on and on, I can't go there. For me, it's about freedom. It's about our rights. And we need to have the right to say no.
You know, it's funny. You would think that people would, like, not want to get stuck. You know, you think it would be an easy choice
right.
for people to make, too, because it's a
right.
pretty horrific thing, just having, like, this needle coming at you. And I remember I was really sick as a child, and I was always injected and poked and prodded and stuff. So, I mean, I remember it just being a really unpleasant experience. So, you know, you would think people would be excited that they don't have to take vaccines.
Right.
So,
well, you know, one of the most amazing moments at the conference was at the congressional panel. One of the legislators, there was a lot going on, I was tired, so I can't tell you which one, I'd have to go back and watch it. One, it was either Daryl Issa or Dan Burton, I'm not sure which one, but one of them kind of went into this, you know, well, here's what we need to do, and, we're promising to, like, actually, you know, try to do something about this issue. But, you know, we wouldn't want to downplay the, you know, benefits or, you know, the necessity of vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, I mean, you know, how many of you would go out and get a smallpox vaccine, if we had a smallpox outbreak?
Right.
And I don't know how many people were in that room, but it was full, and I would say it was several hundred. Could have been five, I'm not sure, but several hundred people. Hardly anyone raised their hand.
Right.
And that actually, you could see the look of shock on the congressional panel's face. In other words, I mean, a big message was sent, you know, no, we don't
great.
Trust your vaccination program.
Well, that's
no.
great. That's really inspiring. That's
yeah.
great.
It is encouraging. I mean, because we know that when we've done the research that it doesn't matter, you know, how safe you make them, they'll never be safe, and they don't work, and they don't protect you from disease.
Yeah.
So, you know, because they bypass
right.
that part of the immune system.
So why are we taking the risk? Why are we taking the risk?
Yeah, it's completely unnecessary in every single way. And it is dangerous to say, oh, well, we'll take out the mercury and now they're going to be safe. No.
Right.
No, they really won't, because they're going to have...
Haven't we been down this road before?
Yeah.
1999, and then we had all of the different states that had their little mercury bans, including California. But then they made, you know, exceptions for this, that, and the other thing. And then we're just right back to where we were. And they added aluminum, and they added more aluminum. And this is one thing I did bring up, not to make the point that, oh, you need to, you know, take this out and then it's safe. But I brought it up to show just how absolutely insane the whole thing is when supposedly we have an FDA and we have a truth in labeling law and all of that, and somehow pharma can get away with having aluminum levels in vaccines that are far in excess of what product inserts state, and nobody cares, and nobody does anything. So if they can't even regulate that, you know, what can they do? I have zero faith in them at all.
Yeah, totally.
You said that, you know, you believe it's impossible to make them safer. So I'm just curious, because germs and bacteria, diseases do exist. So what are some things that you do to stay healthy?
For me and my family, the biggest thing we do is diet. We eat absolutely as clean as possible.
Yeah.
I have my, I guess you'd call them my crazy food rules that people, you know, just can't believe that's how we live. But I would say diet. But then, you know, I've learned a lot about the immune system and how to support it with different supplements, and I use homeopathy. I use, you know, all kinds of tools to support our immune systems. And when we, you know, do get sick, which is very rare, but when we do, you know, I've pretty much got it down in terms of what we need to do to get well very quickly. So somehow we managed to do all of that without any doctor. I don't know how we're all alive.
You know, Don, I'm becoming orthorexic myself, and you know, I've noticed that it's made a huge difference in my health with my asthma. Even when I'm not cured yet, but I feel like even just changing diet, like you said, it's made a huge difference. Have you heard of the orthorexic thing?
I have not.
Oh, okay. April, you know, right? The orthorexic.
Yeah. Is this where we're gonna have a psychiatric name for?
Yes, for people that are
healthy.
Yes, exactly.
I have.
Some doctor said it was a mental illness that you had, you know, and had to. And he's even got a clinic where he treats people for it.
Oh my gosh, what is the treatment?
I think it's they eat Taco Bell or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I can remove it like throw carrots at you and stuff lettuce down your throat and so you don't want it anymore. Like some
That is just too much.
So Don, before we let you go, we want to just one more time just thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for what you're doing, because you work so hard on all of this, and I know it's just for the benefit of, you know, for the benefit of humanity. You just want to be
thank you too for what you're doing, all of us. I mean, it's going to take all of us, so I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate all that you do. And you know, I will say I am encouraged. I'm, you know, glad I went to the conference and saw a lot of just incredible things happening. So
that's
we have to hope that things can change. I know it seems dismal and it's difficult, but anything in history that's ever changed for the better was like that. So
yeah,
I'm not giving up.
Absolutely. Okay. And do you think, I mean, what is the best thing that people can do at this point if they're sending their kids off to school and they want to avoid having them vaccinated and they don't want to have their kids vaccinated right now?
That's hard to say, because I mean, it's just different every, you know, I live in a small town, there's, you know, big cities, it's, I don't know, they do tend to focus the school-based clinics sometimes in the, I guess, the lower-income areas of cities. Parents need to make sure their school staff know that their child is not to be vaccinated, but even then, it's not a guarantee. You know, I myself have just had to make some huge sacrifices, and you know, my son is 16 now, but I've had to really be, you know, right there and on top of things, to the point of, I mean, I have homeschooled at some point, and I have had him in even private school, which is unaffordable for most people, and it was for me. I just happened to help start the school and work there, so I got free tuition. But parents need to know they can't really trust anyone. they need it in the child's file, you know, in writing, that this, you know, this child is not to be vaccinated. And if you know, they need to make it known and make it clear that that's not okay, and they need to tell their child that, you know, they need to come up with what's age appropriate, what would they want their child to do in the event that someone was because if, you know, looking back, if my mother had told me what to do in that event, and it went through my head as I rode the bus, and I knew something was not right. I didn't know where we were going. This is back when I was 7 and I got a smallpox vaccine. I knew it was bad, and I thought about running when I got off that bus. But I honestly didn't know which direction my house was, how far away I was. Looking back, had my mother told me, you know, if anybody ever comes at you with a vaccine, you run or you do this or you do that, I would have done it. But I had I didn't have any knowledge or any but I did have an internal fear that was very valid, and you know, unfortunately it's probably caused me a lot of health problems.
Yeah.
With, you know, the past many, many years, which so yeah, parents they've got to be
vigilant.
Very, very, very vigilant.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said to my oldest son. I have an autistic child, but then I also have an older son who's neurotypical, and he's 10. And when they did the vaccine clinic at his school, I said, has anyone asked you to do it? What would you say? And he's like, no. You know, he really answered it very funny. He's like, no, I would never. And I go, well, why not? And he goes, because it caused my brother's autism. What, am I crazy? And I'm like, no. It's like,
this
okay,
awesome,
good,
awesome.
Good. That's great. Good answer.
But you know what, though? Even, have you ever thought maybe that there's a plan? Or does he doesn't have his own phone, right?
My son?
Yeah. Does he have his own phone? Because I'm just thinking, too, even in those situations, though, you can get, he'll say no and no and no, but what if they, corner him or threaten him? You know what I mean? Like, can he call you? You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm just thinking that sometimes these people are crazy and they get aggressive,
right.
And kids are very vulnerable.
Yeah. That's true.
So
that's the thing with the Gardasil, because they don't have to tell their parents, so they can corner them and pressure them, and it's not against the law.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Especially
and
if that.
Know,
yeah.
Right.
I don't know where the bill is. I think it got tabled for now, but Senator Hernandez, who was the chair of the Senate Health Committee last session when we were fighting AB 2109, he actually had a bill this session to allow optometrists to give vaccines.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
No, I know you're not kidding. I just say that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it went anywhere. But so basically, you could be in danger if your kid was whatever age, 12 and up. Say they're 16 and you take them to the eye doctor and you think, oh, I'm going to run an errand or I'll just be out here in the waiting room. They could literally give your child a Gardasil vaccine and not tell you.
Ugh.
That's where we're at.
We have to teach our kids.
It's like invasion, It's like they're trying to get from all different
and
angles.
And it just goes back to that, our kids are our kids, in my view.
Yeah.
And the state of California takes a very different attitude about that. And that is just getting worse. And I was just notified tonight. I haven't looked into it, so I can't say much about it because I don't know that much. But apparently Nevada has a bill that passed, and it's going to the governor's desk, and it's along the lines of protecting parental rights to make all decisions. It's something that would be, it sounds like, very ideal for a framework for all the other states, we know how California is, and
right.
we know people who would probably sponsor that legislation, but then the likelihood of it passing is dismal unless people start electing different legislators.
Yeah, California is very pro big government, which is a nightmare. Because it's a lot of bureaucracy and red tape, and you can't, and just really in our face on top of us in every way. So it's unfortunate that that's how our state is. But once again, thank you so much, Dawn. We really appreciate
you
being on the show. And again, the website to go to for information is MVICAdvocacy.org, and you can join us on Facebook, Californians Against to AB2109. We're still on there posting and fighting and everything else. And so, Dawn, it's great, as always, to have you. And, of course, we'll bring you back when we get another chance to. So thanks again.
Yes,
thanks,
thank
Dawn.
You. I'll let you know when and if we have a new form, and then we can talk about what it looks like.
Perfect. That's exactly, we'll bring you back. We'd love to.
Okay. Thanks so much, ladies. Have a great night.
You too, Dawn. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
So Christine and I are going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to be bringing in our next interview, Sally Elkarotti, to talk about there's another bill going on in New York, a vaccine bill, as similar to what we're dealing with here in California. So we wanted to bring in a New Yorker to talk about that since people listen to us all over the place. So anyway, so thank you so much. And we're thanking Dawn Winkler, saying goodbye to her. And we'll take a short break. We'll be right back. Having a child with food sensitivities and allergies can make a difficult task of finding the right food to eat. My son's severe dairy allergy has made him unable to eat even butter, which is why I buy the best high-quality ghee from Pure Indian Foods.
Pure Indian Foods is a family-owned company spanning back five generations. Pure Indian Foods continues to make ghee the old-fashioned way in small batches with stainless steel equipment. This ghee is derived from non-homogenized milk from 100% organic, grass-fed, pasture-raised cows. Always served in glass bottles, never plastic, so there's no risk of BPA poisoning.
Pure Indian Foods has decided to keep their company small so as to maintain the tradition of high-quality products ranging from healthy and delicious Indian spices,
Ayurvedic medicinal teas, and of course, their delicious ghees, which come in a variety of spice flavors, like their new digestive ghee for better digestive health.
And my personal favorite, their cultured ghee, is as delicious as it is good for you. Even my son with severe allergies can eat it, and he loves the taste. Be sure to check out Pure Indian Foods at pureindianfoods.com, the best little online store for tasty, healthy living.
That's pureindianfoods.com.
I was on holiday with Sir Laurence Olivier. We had decided that 9/11 was an intelligence operation. We'd all known about JFK, he had so many mistresses. The CIA shot him. Castro could never have done it. It was clear we had become realists, conspiracy realists. How would we let everyone know was the question. We decided to buy T-shirts that told the contents of our hearts and minds to the world. We went to shop.truthertees.com. Even though the internet hadn't been invented at the time, we went to shop.truthertees.com. There we purchased conspiracy realist T-shirts, one of a kind, sold only at shop.truthertees.com. 100% cotton in men's and women's fitted sizes. I won't tell you which one I'm wearing.
Welcome back to Truth or Talk. Please visit our website at truthortees.com, our store at shop.truthortees.com. And for this show, since we're talking about vaccines, we're talking about vaccine mandates, mandates to go to school, mandates for the military or whatever, certain groups are categorized and have to have certain types of vaccines in order to attend school. And so there's been a lot of bills going around all over the country to try and tighten the noose of this and try and force people to be more to get more vaccines than have ever before. So we just talked to Dawn Winkler, and she gave us an update on what's going on in California. And so for this segment, we're going to be talking to vaccine truth activist and New Yorker Sally Elkroddy. Did I say that right, Sally?
Elkroddy.
And we're talking to Sally Elkroddy about the vaccine mandate bill that's being proposed in New York right now. And Sally's campaign, Ban All Vaccines 2013, is on her blog, Billion Toddler March for Survival.blogspot.com. She has a weekly radio show. She's been talking a lot about vaccines lately, called The Mary and Sally Show. She covers a wide range of topics, all pertaining to people's civil liberties, but she's really been on the vaccine issue a lot lately. So that can be found at blogtalk.com/The Mary and Sally Show. You can find her on Facebook at Sally O. Elk. Say it again, Sally. I'm going to mess it up.
Elkroddy.
Elkroddy. For that's Elkroddy. For
Elkroddy.
Elkroddy.
Right.
For the NYC, New York City Public Advocate. So please welcome to our show, Sally Elkroddy.
Yes, Sally.
Hi, Sally. How are you?
Hi, Sally.
Very well, thank you. I'm taking time out of my busy signature gathering schedule to speak with you.
Oh, great. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Now is the time to get signatures when you're running for office. And I'm running for New York City Public Advocate, which is totally, I guess, appropriate. I said to my kids, what shall I run for this time? This is my fifth run. And they said, well, Mommy, They looked at the list and they said, you are a public advocate, so why don't you run for public advocate? And I said, I'll tell you why I don't really want to, because I am constantly appealing to higher-ups to achieve banning vaccines. So, again, as a public advocate, were I to be elected public advocate, I'd be appealing to higher-ups to get justice for the public. So it's something I'm accustomed to, certainly, but it's, I would like to be in a position where I could make the decision, for any reason, vaccinate any child, because we are canceling the CDC vaccine schedule and pandemic laws, because we know it's 100% poison. We know the diseases that result, and we know now the intent to cause those diseases. There's nothing stopping us, friends, parents.
You know, first, Ellie, would you tell us how you became concerned with vaccines? What is your story?
Okie dokie, I'll tell you. This is it's a hard one. My sister was severely mentally retarded, and I never knew that she was not always severely mentally retarded, because she was 8 years older than I was, and my entire experience was with her as someone with no way of thinking in the realm that normal people think. She didn't know I was her sister, for example. That would have been a concept that was way too advanced for her. Looking to a dog's eyes, I see far more intelligence than I saw when I looked into her eyes. So as years were going by and concurrently vaccines were being increased, I saw more and more children who reminded me of her, and I would stop the parents, and finally, I just couldn't take it anymore. I'm wondering, where are all these kids who are reminding me of my sister coming from? So I started to stop the parents and say, hi, my name's Sally L. Cordy, and my my sister was severely mentally retarded. What's the matter with your kid? Which is an outrageous thing to just blurt out to a parent, but in fact, these people were relieved to have somebody be that forthcoming, because there was obviously something glaringly wrong with their child. And it's a look that once you know the look, you can't not know the look. So they would tell me somewhere in the conversation, but the doctor said it wasn't the vaccine. Hmm. Now, it took my putting together a vaccine realities tour, which was just that, based in reality. I didn't know the contents in the vaccines. I didn't know the diseases they caused, per se, and I didn't know the intent to cause them, which I know now, and which is why I have a new bill, Banned Vaccines 2013. The old one is on the blog, A Billion Toddler March for Survival.blogspot.com, which basically talks about everything that is real with regard to vaccines. So that stands the test of time, and it always will, because it's based in reality. But so when I'm going across New York State trying to educate parents, pediatricians, legislators, students about this, and we were targeting areas of the legislators who kept increasing and trying to increase and mandate vaccines. So we were, making an effort to speak in those places in particular, and nobody would let us speak. We could only speak in New York City and in Buffalo, because the woman who actually booked the room was disabled herself. Mm. So we tried every nonprofit organization, every veterans hall, every movie theater, nonprofit movie. Well, anyway, every kind of church basements, and nobody would let us speak about vaccine realities, which was just mothers of vaccine-injured children explaining what their child was like before and after vaccination. So anyway, my mother said, as I was on my way to Buffalo, I had described enough of these children for her. She said, for the first time with confidence, she'd always been like, well, I don't know, and the doctor said this, and blah, 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 blah. She was always confused. But she said to me, Sally, your sister was vaccine injured. And she said it with authority. And I said, she was ever normal? And she's like, yes. After her annual checkup, she looked away and never looked back.
Mm.
Well, that accurately describes the look that of all the parents I had been stopping. She looked away and never looked back. So anyway, so that is my journey. I just wanted to stop any child from becoming like my sister, who had no future while she lived. She couldn't speak. I understand at one point she had echolalia, but then she stopped speaking altogether. And so I just wanted to prevent this from happening. If it was the vaccines that were causing it, then obviously we had to stop it. So that's my story. I just want to see children have an independent future. And this is not what my sister had, and she died in her early 20s. I was told when we that she was not expected to live a long life. My mother was told that, but she expected at least for her to live to 40, and she only she died at 22 or 23. I'm not exactly sure.
Wow, Sally. Yeah, I knew some of that about your sister, but I didn't know that. I had never heard you tell the full story about that, and it's kind of similar. I mean, we all have this experience where we have either vaccine damage in our own lives or close family member. And so your campaign to ban all vaccines is unique, and you're not going for the whole, like, greener vaccines. You're not going for the whole, like, you know, just they should be this way or we could make them safer. You're going for the whole, just the whole enchilada, like, just ban them all entirely. And
well, the thing with choice, which, you know, they're stripping every which way we turn.
Right.
And then they want to inoculate our kids when we're not looking, even if we have exemptions for any sexual transmitted disease. It's deplorable.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, just the minute I realized that any child, because of the vaccine, could become my sister, it had to stop. So
right.
Just facing reality, that was enough, all I needed to know. And then knowing all I do now, is if we are, this is it. Go to your state legislator and say nullify the CDC vaccine schedule and the pandemic laws. This has to be done forthwith.
Yeah.
And I have gone out to both of my state legislators. I haven't gone out to the entire state legislature. I will do that next, but I have certainly approached my own state legislators and the health committee for the state senate and the assembly. I figure I may as well address directly the health committee, you know.
Right. And so this bill you have going on in New York, the one that we were talking about during the intro, it sounds similar to the one that we had in California a couple of years ago where It's identical to the Gardasil bill is what we call it, but it was AB 499.
Yeah.
And tell us, you told me that you've been fighting this thing a long time. So tell us how long it's been going on and what it is.
Yeah, we've been fighting this bill since 2009 here in New York, and I was met a lot of vaccine activists on Jerry Brown's Facebook page fighting it there, too. I know you posted a lot there, and before I forget to say this, April, I really want to say this. If there's any way that you can post your own article about your child's regression, this is the very best article I have ever read. It is beautifully written. You don't waste a word. And you certainly go through all the points of regression. And you certainly call to attention the heartache of it all. So I would have to say it is the most perfect article I have ever read and an incredible educational tool.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad that it helped something, helped people kind of get inside and feel what this is like and what.
Well, since we're talking about it, you now have to post it with all the other information. So
where do you want me to post it?
Well, wherever you're going to post my information, you know, don't put it affiliated with me, but just make sure that people can look at this. And, you know, I don't know where you post things, so wherever it is, make sure people have a way of accessing that because it is a superb educational tool.
Oh, well, thank you. I will. I definitely will. Yeah, that's
yeah.
a couple years old, but, I mean, the feelings don't change. You know, you go until you bring your child back, the feelings are still there as far as this longing to have the child that you once had. And that's the the heartache of vaccine regression, is because you bring this child, this perfect little child, into the hospital, and then they just start to slip away from you. And so it's definitely it's a wake-up call that many of us had to take in order to see what was going on with the vaccines, which is the sad reality of it. And so it's kind of like when we were talking to Dawn, you sort of feel the pain when you hear of other people going through it. It's like you relive it in a way. And so we sort of want to put an end to that, because it hurts me to hear other people going through it. And I'm sure it does.
I read it on the air, April, and I cried while I read it. But the thing is, you also are identifying points of regression trying to recover your child, and then having them regress again and worse this time, and all the lies. I mean, this had so many reasons for people to read it. I just find it a superb educational tool.
Oh, well, thank you, Sally.
So what I wanted to say on that note, you have examples of family members and people having their relatives vaccine regressed. And then on your show, I know that you've had people, experts, claiming that the safety and efficacy of vaccines are really greatly questionable. So as far as like what you're trying to do with the law, why do you think so few legislators like get it or understand it? Or they still end up supporting these mandates? So it must be very frustrating. What do you think that is?
Well, the legislator I spoke to the other day told me flat out he did not take the flu shot. Before I left, I said, I hope, since you have two young daughters, you will not allow a doctor or anybody to inoculate them with the Gardasil vaccine. And he looked like old news. And I thought, but this is old news. And you're not taking the shot yourself. You know more than I think you know. And if you know more than I think you know, this is a no-brainer, is it not, to nullify this schedule. So what people also don't realize, and this is so important for them to know, I interviewed Heather Walker, who's an activist here in Albany, and she's with Albany Vaccine Choice, and They're fighting for choice. I'm always fighting for nullification or banning. This is a false choice. Mm-hmm. This is a substance choice. And I don't even find choice relevant in this regard. And I was just speaking to a friend of mine who's extremely vaccine injured herself and dying. She was given a round of vaccines for every college she transferred to. And she's like, okay. And now she's dying. She was given one of the vaccines she had been given was for Lyme disease, and now she's got Lyme disease. No surprise there. The intent is to create the diseases they claim to prevent. And so, you know, I sometimes lose my track. I wish I knew where I was going.
We're talking about the legislators.
Oh, yeah. It's a false choice. So when people are talking about liberty, 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 I am like, no, life. Life comes before liberty. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm fighting for life, and to even offer poison to be inoculated into children, that is, we must abolish this. It is an offense to the first tenet of our Constitution, life. So I don't even find it a liberty issue. It's strictly a survival issue.
Yeah. Do you feel like you were saying that when you talked to that legislator, he knew what the deal was, but he's still supporting, the mandate?
I don't, he's not on the health committee, and so he knows enough not to get the flu shot. And he looked at me like when I said, I may have just saved your children's life, like, maybe not. And I thought, huh. But anyway, I don't find him part of the problem unless he knows now everything I have just shown him. If in knowing this, he does not take action, if knowing the ingredients, if knowing the diseases that result, if knowing the intent to cause those diseases isn't enough to light a fire under him, then he is part of the problem.
What, you know, the evidence is clearly, I mean, you can go look up the evidence. It's out there clearly. Why do you think, I'm just curious, I mean, I have my own reasons as to why this is, but why do you think there's so few people that are willing to even look into it? You say, you're like, here it is, here's the evidence, you know, and they just feel like it's a waste of their time. What is your opinion on that? I'm just curious.
Well, I know I asked the healthcare workers when they were protesting, to protect their civil liberties. I said to them, I don't really think this is a civil liberty issue. If it were, there are so many other issues that we should be up in arms about. I believe it's the content of the vaccine is the real issue here. And I didn't know what they were at the time, but I knew they were hurting people. And the judge called for scientific information, and I was very excited. I thought, ooh, we're all going to learn a lot here. This is going to be wonderful. And that particular session in the judges, in the court, never came to pass, where they were seeking information about the science of it. But I'm trying to remember where we're going. April, oh. I'm telling you, I have too much rattling around here in terms of how many issues are involved with getting righteousness to prevail, you know? So I get off on a tangent, and then I don't know where I started. So I apologize for that. Maybe it's the chemtrails.
Yeah, probably.
No, it's okay. Don't worry about it, Sally.
We all do that. Yeah, we get off to rants all the time. So, Sally, in New York, from what I've heard in New York, it's really hard to get a vaccine exemption. So how does one get one? What's the law currently before this thing changes?
Well, you have to get a sheet from the nurse's office for a vaccine exemption. This is traditionally how it goes. You can download one from the internet, but a lot of people get them right from the nurse's office, and then they have to write their reasons that they have a religious objection to this, and then they have to have it notarized. Then they have to submit it, and then I don't know if it's to the Board of Education. I'm not completely sure where they have to submit it, but that is clear on the form, I believe. And then they are their reasons are accepted or rejected. So I understand that New York is the hardest place to get it. On my Sally O'Leary, according to NYC Public Advocate, I started, please post your winning religious exemption. Somebody brought that to my attention as possibly not a good idea, because then people will start submitting like reasoning, and perhaps those reasons will then get used up. All I know is it's supposed to be so difficult here that you have to hire a lawyer or an expert in how to address the issue. I have several people who have called me and say, let people know that I help people with religious exemptions. So I could point you to three different people who could help you with that. But the fact of the matter is that you would have to hire a lawyer. There's a website called MyKidsMyChoice.com, which is run by Rita Palma from Long Island, and she has a religious sincerity. Oh, it's called the sincerity test. And I just watched the top video, which is actually the third of the three at the top, and I really was so blown away at the questioning of this woman's religious sincerity. It's laughable if it weren't real. You would really be howling laughing. This is the Onion's report. It's unbelievable what they put her through. I understand this is not typical, but at the same token, the fact that this could happen at all is ludicrous. So I know if you no longer have a religious exemption and all you're left with in California is a medical exemption, I'm to understand that even though more than one medical exemption has been given in New York, only one stands because the health department will go into schools and just rip up the medical exemption.
Wow.
So,
oh, my God.
So there's only one that I know of that is standing currently in New York State, which is why I have really gone out of my way to stand up for California, because these two issues, the giving vaccines for sexually transmitted disease without a parent's knowledge, here we have no age limit, by the way. I don't know if you do in California. If there's
It's 12, I think.
Well, we don't have that on our bill. And I just spoke to someone who's with Autism Action Network, John Gilmore, and he told me that they are preparing to put vaccine clinics in schools. So I think with the legislation that's passed in California, if it's AB 499, because AB 499, quite frankly, whether you had an exemption or not, if the parent isn't being alerted, the parent's refusal is also irrelevant, you see? So this AB 499 skirts every issue, as far as I can see, and with no age limit. And then, of course, it's about sex. Oh, so much privacy surrounding sex, which none of these children are having anyway. Seriously, come now. What they're trying to make is all very private. So if your child dies from the HPV vaccine, then they don't have to report that to the parents. You can just wonder, scratch your head for the rest of your life, why did my young girl drop dead?
Right.
You know, or boy, because they're giving it to the boys on Halloween. Of course, they pass that information for October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, and all the young boys, they had already received the HPV vaccine. I'm like, oh, brother, they are moving fast.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This was decided. They decided to offer it to the boys. Offer.
Ugh.
Yeah.
To protect their cervix.
And this was after Marianne Hollingsworth Green of Truth About Gardasil had made a presentation to the FDA showing them that, among other things, it was a very good, you should go to truthaboutgardasil.org and look at the PowerPoint presentation, but one of the things it brings up is, previously, only people who were middle-aged and above got HPV, and now teenagers are getting it. So they saw this, and they didn't say, let's pull the vaccine for that, or at least the fact that girls are dying. Let us instead offer it now to the boys. So to me, this is so clearly, to draw that conclusion from that presentation is about as far from making sense as anything in the entire world. So if I were to have seen that presentation, I would have said, well, we're going to be pulling this vaccine today. But they didn't. They said, let us now give it to the boys. So this is a big, big, big problem that is their lead on such a presentation.
And so before we started the show, you said that you were going out and getting signatures today. What are you getting? Are you getting people to sign a petition for this particular bill?
Well, actually, what today is, literally, I'm running for office. This is the window of opportunity to get signatures.
Yeah.
But what I do now, because I have been thwarted so many times during my run, they have held my mail at the post office and returned it after signatures. They have given my email, one of them a virus, and the other one I would have to type 46 captures to send a single email. Another time they locked me out of Facebook. You may remember that, maybe not.
Yeah.
And another time they censored my radio show. Another time they disabled my website. So when they disabled my website, and I had already printed that, I had already gone to the expense of printing everything out and distributing it, and now I was sending everybody to a website that had been disabled. I decided at that point to just tell people, write ban vaccines on the ballot when you vote. So this is what I'm doing now. I'm out in the streets, and I'm not actually getting signatures. There's no reason to. I just basically tell people, when you go to the polls, here's my card, here's my phone number, here's my email, and here's my blog. But when you go to the polls, do not vote for me. write in ban vaccines. That's it. That's the whole poll act. I would say write in ban vaccines 2013 because I do have a deadline. It is this year. However, you can't write a number. If you write a number, it will be discounted. So I just tell people, just write ban vaccines, and you will have voted for me.
Well, excellent. We certainly hope that we are successful in banning the vaccines. I don't know that they're going to give up trying to get that Gardasil bill through, but you guys have been pretty successful at stopping it so far. So let's just hope
It will go, from what I understand. I talked to Heather, and she said it will. It is on the schedule for this week to be voted on in a full assembly. Mm-hmm. It did pass the health committee, and, you know, my legislator is on the health committee. While I knew he voted for it, I still told him to cancel the CDC, to nullify the CDC vaccine schedule. You know, it's like, okay, let us not allow you to pretend you don't know.
Right.
So you're voting for it. Your office is telling me is filled with compassion about this issue, and then you keep voting for it. This is not the first time he's voted for it. But these health committee votes are not promoted. But you have to do your research to know that, in fact, he voted for it.
Right.
So he's not telling people the truth, and I'm not allowing him to slide. So I'm telling him to be part of the solution, and this is really what I'm saying to people. There is a glaring, glaring crime going down right now. This is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And you must take action to prevent this crime. I actually said to my state senator, should I go to the police instead? Am I at the right place? Should I be talking to you or should I be talking to the police?
Right, yeah. Go to the county sheriff. I'm sorry, keep going.
Well, you know, in New York City, I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to run for sheriff. I wanted to run for sheriff, but in New York City, sheriffs are appointed by the mayor.
No.
Which completely undermines the purpose of a sheriff.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the sheriff, I mean, is the highest form of law, except for the fact that if, you know, he who pays the piper calls the tune. So if they're getting any kind of money from any other source, then that's basically who's in charge. So if they're getting federal funding, they can't,
they can't override it, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're supposed to be able to do that. They're supposed to be able to arrest public officials who are getting out of line, but, you know, not if they're getting federal funding, then it's a different story. So that does change things if the mayor is the one who actually appoints them. So,
oh, completely changes it.
Yeah.
It has made them completely powerless, and all they do is go around evicting people, you know?
That's all they do. Well, Sally, we really appreciate you coming on the show today and talk to us about what's going on in New York and about your campaign to ban all vaccines 2013. So I hope that everybody out there who's listening will support Sally and go check out what she's doing on Facebook, Sally Elcordi for the New York City Public Advocate, and listen to her show on Blog Talk, The Mary and Sally Show, and check out her blog, BillionToddlerMarchForSurvival.blogspot.com. We will let you go ahead and get back to your signatures. And thank you so much for taking your time away to talk to us for a minute. I know how busy you are. This girl let me tell you people out there, Sally is tireless. Like, she works harder than anybody I know. She goes out there, and I mean, every day it's something. Sally's working on something for the greater good of the people. She really does care, and she's the real deal. So I really, really admire Sally, and I'm so glad she's on the show today.
Well, thank you, April, and it's lovely to meet your co-host. I never knew you before, so thank you very much for both of you for having me on.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate it. It's very inspiring.
It is inspiring. Sally's always very inspiring. She does. I don't know how you keep up your energy to do it, but it's very.
It's a mission of mercy. It's a mission of mercy.
Yeah.
I am sick to death of children being murdered. The minute they come out of the womb with these vaccines, we are the 68th nation in day of birth survival, and we must put an end to this. The kids aren't even going to make it to the MMR and autism. They're never going to make it to Gardasil and an early death before their first kiss. No, we're going to just get rid of them the minute they pop out.
I know it's people out there. If you think she's exaggerating, she's absolutely not. This is true. We know that this is happening. Kids are dying of SIDS, or they're dying of, you know, are dying on their first day. We have a very disturbingly high infant mortality rate in this country. We're a first world nation. We shouldn't be so we shouldn't be having our children die. It's just not right, given all that we have and all of our technology. We shouldn't be, it shouldn't be like that. We have clean water. We have access to, or we kind of do have access to clean water.
You like, we kind of do. It's true. Yeah, but more than most places, you're saying,
right.
Better,
yeah.
Than our, you know, better, like, third world countries. Not that they deserve to die either, but it's just that, you know, you would think that in the position that we are, we would have more healthy people and less deaths.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. So we are going to take a short break, and when we get back, Christina and I are going to close out the show, and we are so glad that Sally was able to come on the show today. So thank you, Sally, and keep up the good work.
And Vaccine 2013.
All
bye-bye.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Yes, hello. I wanted to say that I love the conspiracy realist t-shirts that you can get only online. At ShipTheTruthOfTeas.com. I knew a conspiracy when I saw America is run by the CAA. Yes, the CAA. That's why you have to wear a conspiracy realist t-shirt all the time to let people know that you are not stupid. Go to ship.truthoftease.com. ship.truthoftease.com. Ship, like to go shipping when you buy things at the grocery store, .truthoftease.com.
Why I buy the best high-quality ghee from Pure Indian Foods.
Pure Indian Foods is a family-owned company spanning back 5 generations. Pure Indian Foods continues to make ghee the old-fashioned way in small batches with stainless steel equipment. This ghee is derived from non-homogenized milk from 100% organic, grass-fed, pasture-raised cows. Always served in glass bottles, never plastic, so there's no risk of BPA poisoning.
Pure Indian Foods has decided to keep their company small so as to maintain the tradition of high-quality products ranging from healthy and delicious Indian spices,
Ayurvedic medicinal teas, and of course, their delicious ghees, which come in a variety of spice flavors, like their new digestive ghee for better digestive health.
And my personal favorite, their cultured ghee, is as delicious as it is good for you. Even my son with severe allergies can eat it, and he loves it. Be sure to check out Pure Indian Foods at pureindianfoods.com, the best little online store for tasty, healthy living.
That's pureindianfoods.com.
And hi, we're back. Thanks for listening to Truth or Talk. I'm April Bowden.
And I'm Christine Henry.
Check out our website at truthortalk.com. We've just been interviewing these very strong ladies, Sally Cordy. I kept saying her name wrong during the thing because I don't know why, but for whatever reason I juxtaposed the letters and I kept saying it wrong. But anyway, it's Sally L. Cordy and Dawn Winkler, who's we've been had on the show before, who are just really strong women and vaccine activists, and we were glad to talk to them about what's going on, and it's going on kind of everywhere right now. Sally is from New York and Dawn is from here in California, and we're both struggling and dealing with these mandates, these bills that are going on all over California and the rest of the country, trying to force everybody to take vaccines, just about everybody. So I don't know.
It's like the Twilight Zone. It's like Flight of the Living Dead or something. I mean, I don't know. It's like
just
a horror movie.
It's just creepy. And I just saw something today. They were saying that the CDC is bragging that they have a new vaccine for type 1 diabetes.
But we know what causes diabetes already. That is just insane.
I know. It's just creepy. And
it's insane.
Yeah. They have all kinds of vaccines in development right now. It's like it's not even funny how many they have. It's like creepy. And
is
like
there one for assholes?
There should be. There should be vaccines for assholes. because there's plenty of those coming around, and most of them work at the CDC or in the pharmaceutical companies. But it's pretty creepy, and so they're so forceful about it, and that's what I think both Sally and Don were kind of getting at the point, was that it's like it's getting to where it's just so forceful. Like they're just using legislation to fearmonger, and but not just fearmonger, but actually threaten people's jobs, or threaten people to go to school, or threaten people's children or whatever. I mean, there was another similar thing kind of going on in Oregon. I think it was the exact same thing that they had a bill about as what we had here in California. They're trying to take away the personal beliefs exemptions and for children to go to school. And then here in California, there was an incident that happened recently. There was this family who went to the hospital because their baby, I'm not sure what was happening with the baby, but the baby was getting sick. They went to the hospital. They didn't like necessarily how the baby was being treated, so they moved to another hospital to get a second opinion. And so the hospital that they had been at originally called CPS on them, and they came in and took the baby away. Did you hear about that?
No.
That happened here in California. So it's like this medical tyranny where they're just like coming in, and that's what you'll see with the vaccine thing happens sometimes, is that when parents refuse to have their children vaccinated, they get CPS called on them by doctors or whoever. It's been known to happen. So, but yeah,
they can just take your child away. You don't have any right to plead your case in court or anything, right? They just like,
right. You don't have any right. I mean, how it works is that they can just, the social worker will somebody will call in a case, and then the social worker will come out and make a case that you have to have your child, taken away for X reason, and then that's it. Then they just bring in the authorities and take them out. And there's no judge, there's no jury, there's nothing.
So is this under the NDAA?
No. This has nothing to do with that.
I'm just saying, doesn't that also, like, diminish your right, erase your right to have a trial or jury too, because of that.
Yeah, but that's about terrorism. This is a law that only is allowed to CPS. And I always tell people that Child Protective Services is just as scary, if not scarier, than the CIA, because they actually have powers that the CIA and the FBI don't have, in that they can take children, and this is before the NDAA, this is before these bills. They have been able to do this for a long time. You can just have a child taken away from custody from their parents, and it's based on the word of a social worker. The social worker comes out, and what they build a case within the hour or so that they spend time at your home, and
just 1 hour, fucking A.
Just they can come out for an hour and then just decide that, you know, this child is going to be taken away. So that happened recently because this family, they were not getting along with the hospital. They didn't like the way their child was being treated, so they just left. They said, fuck it, we're out of here. We're going to go get a second opinion at another place. And so they came in, and it's crazy because the whole thing was caught on video. You can YouTube it and find it. And the woman was actually pregnant. And she had, and this was her first child that they were taking away from her. And they come in, and they're so, like, obnoxious and rude to her. And she's saying, where's your documentation? Where's your warrant? Where's all this stuff that's saying that you're allowed to do this? And they're going, we'll get that to you. And but they don't even have it there. They don't have a warrant. They don't get anything signed by a judge. They don't have to. CPS is above the law. And so they come in, and they're telling her this, you can just, you know, we're going to just take your baby. And she's like, show me the papers. Show me your documents. What gives you the right to do this? And they're telling her, you're not in a right state of mind. You're acting irrational. I'm like, bitch, you're the one that's irrational.
You come into my house and take my kid, and I'm like, you know, yelling at you, and I'm irrational? That is insane.
She wasn't yelling, really. She was just saying, where's the documents that say that you have the right to do this? And they couldn't produce the documents. They were like, we'll get them to you. We'll get them to you. And she's going, but I want to see it. You can't take my baby away unless you show me that you have the right to do this. And they're telling her she's irrational because she's asking. I thought that was a very rational question.
Exactly.
So I think that some parents would be screaming and shrieking on the floor, you know.
Yeah.
And slobbering all over themselves. And she was, like, asking a very, like, very thoughtful question. You know, where, how do you have the right to do this? And that's, and unfortunately they do, because that's just, or I don't know if they do really, but I mean, so we've had some success though. There's this, I think Don mentioned the senator, I want to say his name is Tim Donnelly, and he proposed, Assemblyman Tim Donnelly in California proposed a bill to have the Gardasil bill overturned. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And then, so he has also proposed a bill to audit CPS, and that actually passed. So there will be an audit of CPS because of this event, because this thing took place. Because this family, come on, you can't go to another doctor and get a second opinion, please, you know?
Yeah.
And they're saying you're endangering your child. Why? It's not like they were taking them, they weren't trying to give them treatment. They were just saying, we don't like this hospital, we want to go to this one. So... or we want to at least see what our options are and see if this one has a better facility for our needs. That seems like a very rational, legitimate kind of thing to do. So anyway, so that's what's going on in California. It is odd that you would think that. And the other thing about CPS is that you have they have to have so many removals from the home. So in other words,
quota, basically.
Yeah, they have a kind of like a quota. So, like, if there's a CPS in, like, let's say L.A. County, and then, you know, they have certain branches within L.A. because it's a big place. And so one of those branches will have to have certain number of removals from the home. Otherwise, the CPS, the administration will deem that unnecessary to have. So in other words, all the people that are working there and everybody will just be fired and let go.
So they basically have to kidnap a bunch of kids or they get fired.
Exactly. So, I know, right?
Fucking bullshit. Oh, my God.
See how the system, like, it promotes bad behavior. It promotes people to kind of be
make up excuses and stuff.
Yeah, and so that's a scary position to have people in, and it's not really fair to the people that work in those positions either, and to say that your job's in jeopardy. But, the you know, it's just, it's really creeper jeepers, and and then they get paid, too, and so then they get more money the more children that they have in the system, and then they get more money for kids that have special needs. They get more money for kids that need to be medicated. They get, you know, so it's like all the incentive is to have them basically have sick, disabled children in the system. It's creepy. It's very, very 1984, like Aldous Huxley, like no parents, there shouldn't be any more parents, you know, Brave New World kind of stuff going on.
And they're
on.
More vulnerable, too, because they can't fight back or they can't communicate. It's just...
Exactly. Very, very horrible situation. So that's a kind of a beacon of light, though, that we are actually have an opportunity to audit the system and see if there's any way to improve upon it. But I'm more of like a Ron Paul-er, like just get rid of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, he just like wants to shut down every government agency, and everyone's like, "Well, why? What would happen?" And it's like, "Oh, God forbid."
Well, God forbid that we're responsible for yourselves and responsible for helping other people. God forbid.
Exactly.
You know, like we were talking about in another show, that people don't want to be responsible.
Right.
For shit. But that, you know, that's the price of freedom, for real freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really free if we're putting our lives in these people's hands and they're fucking us up. We're not really free.
Right. I mean, if you think that CPS is a necessary thing, then that means that that's a really sad statement, because that means that you don't have enough faith in humanity, that if there was really a child that was in danger and really a child in need, that people wouldn't come to that child's aid, you know? And by far and away, kids have a better chance of, I mean, literally survival. There's a higher death rate amongst children that are brought into the system. There is a higher rate of being abused. There's a higher rate of being molested. So, and there's a higher rate, of course, of being medicated, which isn't surprising because of what I just said. They get paid for it. So, if then there is in the natural home. So, no matter what the situation is, statistically speaking, they have a better chance of being treated better in their homes with their natural born parents or their adopted parents than they do in a foster care system or in a government institution.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really scary, and we should really respect that we as people can take care of these children that need to be taken care of. And that's kind of how it used to be. My mom said, you know, when she was a kid, I mean, if there was a kid in the neighborhood that was kind of had neglectful parents or whatever, they were taken care of by the neighborhood, or they were taken care of by the church, or they were,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it wasn't just like there wasn't some government in a goon and who would come in and, you know, and this was one of the champions of to fight this system was Senator Nancy Schaefer, who was suicided back in 2005, I think, or 2000. She exposed that this was basically that they were running child trafficking rings, that they were just taking these kids and just removing them from their parents' homes and stealing them, and then the parents would just never see their kids again and never have any kind of contact with them again.
No.
And she was exposing this, and she'd been on Alex Jones, I think, and he talked about this because he'd had her on the show, and then he said that she had called him to say she had something she wanted to talk about, and so they were busy and they didn't get back to her right away, and then next thing you know, she was found dead with her husband.
Her and her husband were killed?
Yeah. The official.
So they said that she killed herself and then killed him and killed herself or something like that?
So the husband killed her and then killed himself. And he was in, like, stage 3 cancer. Okay? So, yeah.
Wow.
So whatever it was that she had to go, she wanted to come on and say, never got said. So this is a very deep rabbit hole that's creeper jeepers. And so that's one of the things.
And, you know, thinking about, I'm going back to gun control and how they want to take our guns and shit because people are whistleblowing and stuff. I would like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, somebody probably broke into our house and did that shit. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean.
Well, we don't know what happened, but I certainly don't believe the official story because they were like in their 80s. I mean, the guy was really sick. Like, I just don't, like, it just doesn't add up at all. And, you know, given what she was involved in, and she knew not just that the system was corrupt, she also knew that people in high places, you know, were using children and child trafficking. And so that's, I think, where it gets beyond just, like, auditing the system. It's like there's something really demonic and ugly about it when you get down to the deepest, deepest, darkest parts of it. And that doesn't happen to most of the kids that get into the system, but it's certainly happening to some. And that in some is more than we should allow. So, and she knew about that. So that was really Jeeper Creeper. So that was just one thing I wanted to add to that because I think people who are out there and they think, oh, you know, these people, they should have their kids taken away for endangering them by not vaccinating or by wanting to make their own medical decisions or whatever. Just remember what you're putting these children in greater risk by doing that. So, you know, if you have something to say to somebody, just if you have something to say to me about how I treat my kids or how, you know, I don't want to have them vaccinated, or say it to my face, right? Let's talk it out. Let's have it out. Don't be calling no CPS, no fuzz or nothing like that, you know? Let's have it out. Let's have a conversation about what's really going on and stop being all sneaky and say something.
Yeah, get some balls and, you know, talk to people.
Yeah.
Stop being a fucking tattletale.
Yeah, a bunch of snitches, trying to turn this country into a bunch of, like, scared little snitches, you know, calling on neighbors because they're Muslims. Oh, they're terrorists. You know, it's like, grow up, country.
Yeah,
stop being such a bunch of babies. Let's have it out. You know, you got something to say? Let's have it out.
Yeah, yeah, it's real.
Yeah, keep it real. And then, I don't know. Wait till if your child gets vaccine damage, then you'll have something to say about these mandates. Believe me.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, we're all coming from. And so we want to thank Sally Elcordi and Don Winkler for being on the show. Very strong, powerful ladies. You can check out Sally's show, the Mary and Sally show, on Blog Talk, and Don Winkler's work on the NVIC, NVIC.org website. So definitely get into that and find out what your exemptions are, your exemption rights in your state. So that's that. So I think we're just about out of time here.
Yes, we are.
So we want to end it, as always, with peace, truth, and love, y'all.
Peace, truth, and love, guys. Bye.
How can we be? How can we be? put the needle on the record, put the needle on the record, put the needle on the record, when the zombies go like this.
The only way that a human being can get a bird flu or a swine flu is if it is injected in them.
So how did we get swine flu then?
It's been made in a factory and injected.
I put the needle to the record because the needle is effective, and the needle breaks the record when the needle is the method. The prevention of the fever, bringing death to the receiver. There's no effort in believing that the method feeds the fever. See the leader. Diseases are invented in the lab. One believes it or reading recent mentions of the jab. Centered in a grand scab of corruption and lies, injecting views of doom from newsroom into the public eye. But now the floor has risen on a cause of autism. Doctors show research and scores of flawed wisdom. It's mercury and vaccines. Often there's more given. Peace ignored and forbidden, cause profit is war driven. A score billion on vaccines alone, and the government don't care, they're always taxing the clones. And the CDC is right behind this rolling cart, part involved from the start in this evolving art. A big pharma, big deception, Obama, big karma. Enter White, Roach, Bayer, and Baxter Healthcare. All assorted history with stacks of health scares. You got HIV and bird flu mixed up in the shops. I've been connecting the dots between the money that swaps. Yeah, I sense a couple of plots.
If you never want to get the swine flu, don't go get the swine flu vaccine.
There is one little word that could save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine. And if the doctor says he'll make him take it himself, just say no. Say no to the vaccine. There is one little word that could save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine. And if Obama says he'll make him take it himself, just say no.
I don't need your prescription, I ain't got no affliction. Corporate pharmaceutical dealing with politicians. Put them on prescription, that should be our own decision. Whether we want spending on vaccines or health and education. Soon they enlist the general populace. They adding to the list pharmaceutical benefits. Yo, Alexa Finland, GlaxoSmithKline, Poppin' Margin Fine, Scaling Senior Disease, Macau Cough and Better Swine. Your population linked with holding vaccines. Rather let a product lapse and save some human beings. Now death is the cannon giving, so they want to hear us when we're running on the machine. Yeah. Another flu hill, that ain't our biggest threat. What about an aging population with no safety net? So we continue to believe everything we read. They just ain't no taste in their new speed.
Weapons of trial and error, we're smiling in terror at the doctor and nurse. Take a hold of yourself and control of your health and say no.
No, why don't you go first?
There's one little word that can save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine.
If the doctor says he'll make him take it himself.
Say no, no, no. Say no to the vaccine. There's one little word that can save your health. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine. If Obama says he'll make him take it himself. Just say no.
Say no to the vaccine. Don't get any injection. You never know what's in them. They're all poison. And there's no record that they ever prevent anything.
The vaccine manufacturers need approximately 8 to 9 months to produce the amount of vaccine that's going to be required for immunizing the at-risk populations. And so we have to make our recommendations almost a year in advance.
Yeah, you need to stand up for your rights.
Was I conspiracies, secret ops and spy stations, and the catchword of the year, depopulation. But humans generally are hard to kill, even with the jar of pills. That's why the politicians have to pass the bills with compulsory Gardasil. From Malta to Dargaville and Father Sill, another bill protects this evil Gardasil. May commert from liability for illness or death that may occur. Cause infertility and cancer are hidden inside the brick, and immune disorders have you bedridden, retired and sick. Research is your friend, knowledge keeping is king. Every vaccine has a poison dollar deep in its thing. There's no master flu, they're just after me and you. The last dance is June, now they mask us see-through. Stars with a cheap sweet through. Swine flu, a scam too, designed to make a trillion bucks on out-of-date Tamiflu. Manufactured viruses, biological warfare, psychological torture, gel, a jab,
awesome more prayer.
Our bodies are designed to fight those bugs intruding, but only when our diet is right, so don't shove junk food in.
In
1976, it was thought we were on the brink of another major flu outbreak. Medical science appeared to be prepared. The experts planned to use their best weapon yet, prevention with the flu vaccine. 500 soldiers in Fort Dix, New Jersey, came down with the flu in February of 1976. Private David Lewis died, and it was determined that he had suffered from swine flu. At the time, it was feared that approximately 500 other soldiers on the base were ill with the same strain of influenza, and the alarm was sounded. In March 76, President Gerald Ford announced the biggest immunization program in history.
This virus was the cause of a pandemic in 1918 and 1919 that resulted in over 500,000 deaths in the United States.
Ford's intention was to vaccinate every man, woman, and child in the United States. Vaccine was rushed into production and imported in great quantities. The cost was to be about $135 million, and the first batch of vaccine was delivered on November 1st. The first public swine flu clinic opened 3 weeks later. From the beginning, the program was criticized for being hastily implemented and unnecessary. But over 50 million people in North America were inoculated at a cost of $100 million before investigators discovered an apparent increase in a rare paralytic disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome among the recently vaccinated. This and the fact that the epidemic failed to materialize led to a quick end to the vaccination program in December 1976.
Researchers and experts now fear that the failure of the swine flu epidemic to materialize in 76 will have detrimental effects on preparations for future pandemics. Dr. Arthur Silverstein was an advisor to the U.S. Senate Health Committee in 1976 and has written a book about the swine flu scare. Dr. Silverstein, you called your book about the experiences of 76 pure politics, impure science. Why is that the right image for those experiences?
I think it's the right image because whereas one still does, didn't then and still doesn't know all that much about the science of influenza virus, one knows a fair amount about how politics works in Washington. And politics worked very smoothly, although the science did not in the 76 flu outbreak.